Did you all see the slip-ons?
Ladies.
Women's.
Ladies, young ladies.
For Yourself My Journey Converse slip-ons. Have you seen them?
I love them. I love all of them. I really do. I haven't had but one demo pair come back with a little bit of a glitch. Right on the toe. Fixed it though, but I mean, spot on. Can't go wrong. And each pair that you purchase, limited edition when they come out, in the next couple months, each individual pair is handmade. And that's the greatest part of all. Plus, they're coming right from Converse, right to your doorstep, right to your home. You have any problems? Maybe you got the wrong size. Maybe you need to go size up. Maybe go size down. Maybe, for whatever reason, you go ahead, contact Converse. We make it really that easy. They'll send you out a return label. You'll return the pair. They will make you a brand new pair. Send it right back out to your door. That's all right. That's how easy. For Yourself My Journey Converse, limited edition for love of animals. Looking forward to this. And each pair, a donation to your favorite animal rescue organization. It's a win-win. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. I'm excited to be working on the men's slip-on design early this morning. You sleep when you sleep, you know? What do they say? You sleep when you're dead? I believe in that theory. That was probably the wrong way to go with this podcast. I know. Well, like I say, though, let's just not look at it that way. But, I had a video appointment with my oncologist yesterday afternoon. And we're just discussing things with palliative care and that I'm on. Those asking what's the difference between palliative care and hospice care. When you get to the point where there's no more surgical options, there's nothing left, there's no more clinical trials, there's nothing left. I got down to the last of it. There's nothing left. So we know where we're at. We know the pain will continue progressing. The tumor continues growing. The ovary itself, the Grubach, which is ORS, if you look that up, research ovary remnant syndrome, which was a secondary complication to my last major surgery. Microscopic cell left over, took several years, and voila, things were not good. Couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. It was like a mystery. 17 surgeons later, Cancer Research Institute, cancer centers, hospitals, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo. It took a professor at a hospital, reputable hospital in Ohio, to figure out, oh, this is not good. Your ovary grew back and you have a ovarian tumor about the size of a cantaloupe. Rush me in fast track, realized years later, which actually over the past year, fast track means basically your life is on the line. Things are not good. Anytime, this thing could cause death, immediate death. So they could not do surgical options, although we were supposed to do it backwards, which was surgery, chemo, radiation. We could not do surgery because this thing was so large and my intestines literally was wrapped around the tumor and everything was kind of just, they just couldn't get to it. They said it was like dropping a penny in a well. So they gave me one option only. We're going to fast track, which probably a good thing I didn't know what fast track meant then. It's multiple doses of radiation. The maximum dose that your body can handle before the next one's lethal. And we're going to take 3 months worth of treatments and we're going to do everything. Chemo, radiation, we're going to do everything in 3 weeks. And this what happened is a little bit under 3 weeks. And then things continued to where we could not obliterate it. Nothing worked. We tried clinical trials. Nothing worked. And I got to the point where there's no other options. They deem it terminal when there's no other surgical options and there's nothing left. For that person who said, it's not deemed terminal. You have to look sick and this sick and this sick. And when did terminal have a face? Since when did somebody's condition was deemed terminal and you don't have a licensed PhD in your hand and you're not even close to a physician, especially an oncologist? Since when does anybody state that you have to look terminal? I don't know anybody who's sick with chronic illness that they've went through oncology treatments and that, and you get to the point where there's nothing left and it's terminal. Since when do you have to look terminal? When do you have to look sick? Yes, I have my days like today. I felt like hell. It's been rough the last 2 days with this tumor. It's making it almost impossible to sleep. So we're mixing things up and trying new things to help me sleep. But since when, individual, who would always make fun of light
of what I was struggling with. This is the truth. This person really did know who you are, but you still stalk the podcast. You sit there, I mean, what's am I supposed to look like? Was Terminal have a face? Since when does Terminal have a face? Is there a certain face that we all have to look like? When we go through chronic illness and oncology treatments don't work and they say, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's either palliative care or hospice. I chose palliative care, and Terminal doesn't have a face, I'm sorry. Nobody really sick wants to look sick. But, you know, I really don't care a lot of time what I look like. I can doll it up, you know, put some makeup on, hair extensions, wigs, whatever you want to do. Nice clothes. But let's face it, when you're sick, you don't feel like even doing that. I mean, you're just like, do I have to take a shower today? Because that's how I felt last 2 days. It's the truth. You know, Terminal doesn't have to have. Terminal doesn't have to look a certain way. It's the silliest, goofiest thing anybody acts like that. Stupid. Those are people who only had probably the flu. Wouldn't even know true illness and true suffering, you know, if it came and knocked on the front door. It's the truth. But just asking, I chose palliative care. It was a decision of hospital specialists, immunology, oncology, and hospital care, working with the pain, to go with palliative care, because if I went through hospice, I would lose the insurance rights of having options of managing the pain, and whether it's Medtronic equipment or it's patches or it's oral or we're going through, and you usually end up having to use a combination of things. Even Medtronic is 50-50 pain. When things have progressed to the point you make it past prognosis, which I did. They gave me a prognosis of 5 years, they made it past the 5 years, and then things get into uncharted territory, uncharted waters. And that's where we're at. So the last 2 days trying to sleep has been hell. I can't sleep. I can't get comfortable. You know, people who don't understand chronic illness because they haven't made it past the flu, you know, they'll swear up and down. Just keep opinions to yourself, please. Nobody dealing with things progressing, especially tumors, wants to hear it, you know. But that's where I'm at. I chose palliative care because I have options and I have two insurance policies. And podcast, I think, just stop there for a minute. But the reason I chose palliative care over hospice is because I have more options and my insurance. I still have my insurance, both my insurance policies, medical insurance. So when you go under hospice, it's cut and dry. It's black and white. I've said this before. Hospice doesn't do with a lot of things that your regular insurance policy, your insurance coverage, health insurance coverage will do. You can't go through options. If you wanted to try something that just came out or is getting ready to come out and your oncology team has an option to grab it, you know, get a hold of it and get you in on the list for experimental, you know, for test phase of some of these drugs, they don't do that with hospice. It's cut and dry. Can people live a long time on hospice? Sure they can. Look at President. I'm drawing a blank right now. He likes peanuts. Jimmy Carter. I'm sorry. How do you think of it? On hospice for a long period of time. It happens. Majority, it's not a long period of time. You know, they succumb to their condition. But there are people that, only God knows why, that still can live a long time on hospice. And it's the truth. But you're limited. You know, they don't do all the extras and things and give you options, and majority of the time you're going to lose your specialty care and you're going to go under the hospice specialty care. I was well versed and educated on this through my oncology group, and the option was best suited for me and decision. Ultimately, my decision is to stay under palliative care while things continue to progress. They're going to progress. Sat down with my hospital palliative care and my doctors who do their best to handle the pain and surgeons, and you know, I made it past prognosis, so things, as they said, from a year ago are a lot worse. I don't really have an appetite anymore. Tried different things to consume and some things to eat, but I'm just not hungry. I look forward to just a good night's sleep and some rest. That's the truth. That's what I look forward to. I lay down, it's like, and I finally sit down, it's like, that's what I look forward to. Some people look forward to going out. Some people look forward to this, that. I look forward to literally laying down. People who don't understand true illness won't understand what I mean, but I do. My body's just exhausted. Mentally, I'm still strong. I'm still sharp as a tack, but physically, I'm exhausted. This stuff's kicking my ass. And it's kicking my ass and symptoms and things that I feel with the pain I never had before, even before oncology, you know, before I was, you know, waltzed into their hands. But that's the thing is, you know, they don't know what you're going to face. Tumor continues growing and growing and growing and growing, and things progress. They deem you terminal. There's nothing longer they can do. There's no other experimental meds. There's no other options because the tumor gets to the point where it gets so large. They go by imaging and the facts, and there's nothing left. Even if there's clinical trial, things get so large, your tumor, that there's, I mean, no way, no how. So I'm where I'm at. So I enjoy doing things, and I'm going to do my damnedest, you know, to be able to realize and be on, stand on my own 2 feet, so to speak, with Converse for Yourself, My Journey. I literally just made a pun, didn't I? This will allow me. Release is in August, right around the corner. I'm still doing some designs in that and getting it all together. So there's a whole collection. And it's a great collaboration, you know. But each pair is handmade, folks. And you can't get any better than that. And those who know well, Converse sneakers, gym shoes, whatever you want to call it, they last forever. I have a pair of limited edition Ed Hardys I bought, like, oh my gosh, 15 years ago. I still have them. I'll throw them in the washing machine. You know, you don't need to throw them in a dryer, but I probably could. They never have fell apart, ever. They're just made to last. And a lot of people collect sneakers. You know, there's a lot of sneaker freaks out there that collect sneakers. They love the sneakers. They love the sneakers, you know. I'm excited, you know. This is my forte, and I love designing and creating. So it's, you know, something for me. And, you know, when you are an entrepreneur, you know, you either succeed or you fail. Don't be hard on yourself, entrepreneurs out there, because a lot of people are becoming entrepreneurs in 2023, you know? It's a crazy world out there, but don't beat yourself up. Don't be hard on yourself if you don't succeed and things fail. It's a great learning curve and learning lesson, okay? You know what you need to do? You need to dust yourself off and get back on your feet and try again, or tinker, tweak things around, you know? Tinker with things, you know? The worst thing that can happen is to not try again and not get back on your feet. You know, failure is just a stepping stone away from success. And that's how I look at it. But, you know, for those asking, I thought I'd just answer a couple questions there. But I was going to talk about this is briefly is talking to my oncologist and oncology group. And I had a video visit yesterday, and we were talking about the shortage, and they were saying how fortunate I was to go through the major treatments that I did initially and afterwards and have the access to oncology drugs. Because if anybody hasn't saw and keeping posted on the news and you're an oncology patient, is what in the hell is going on in the United States right now? And what we're realizing is this has been going on, what, the past, I think you just say like 3 weeks or the past month. This has been going on in a slow process. Actually, I think this was more than a month ago. But starting to have a shortage. You're running out of a lot of oncology treatment drugs. And a couple of them that I tried that were at the process where it was out of experimental phase and I was able to try them and during initial oncology treatments is... people don't understand when these oncology groups and hospitals and treatment centers run out of oncology drugs for patients and you're already in the process of a treatment and all of a sudden they run out. I mean, literally running out. There's no borrowing from, you know, if it's an oncology group and they have multiple locations. My initial group, there was multiple locations in multiple states. Every location has a specific amount available. Quantity and, you know, treatments and things like that are planned out and they make sure they have the medicine there and they don't. I am so fortunate and thank God that I was able to go through the treatments that I did at the times that I did and have the availability of the drugs and not be in a shortage. People don't understand when you're going in the middle or the beginning or towards the end of a treatment, no matter what treatment it is, and you run out of that drug, the side effects already are wicked as hell. And no oncologist can predict which side effects you're going to get. And then to run out of it, and then you have to wait. I don't know how in the United States we literally ran out of oncology treatment drugs, and we now have to get them from China. A country
that, let's just face it, we're not buddy buddies with right now. And now we're relying on, can we please borrow and, you know, get these oncology drugs, and we're going to purchase them from you in a country that really can't stand us. Let's just face it, we're not in the greatest of terms, so to speak. Look on the news, between our warships and planes, we're not on the greatest of terms with China. No, we're not. Now we have to borrow oncology drugs. That is just the scariest thing. I can't imagine. And I just want to say for all of those oncology patients, you know, you brave warriors, and loved ones that literally loved ones, and I mean loved ones, meaning a loved one means somebody loves you as a loved one, is they're going to be, their ass is going to be sitting there no matter what. Doesn't matter if their foot got shot. Doesn't matter if they, you know, if the UFO tried to, you know, kidnap them, take them to Mars. Someone who loves you, and a loved one and a family member, will be there for you unconditionally, love you no matter what. And when you're going through something life major, and you're literally, you know, risking your life and trying to save your life, and when you sign on those contracts, and all you warriors, you know, I'm talking about oncology patients, is you sign all that stuff before you go through your very first treatment, no matter what it is. Loved ones should be there. Family members, you best your ass be there. Don't you dare not be there. As you're not there for your own family member, what the hell you look like? What's the excuse? There's no excuse. I'm sorry. There's no excuse. There's no, UFO can be, I don't care. Better not be babysitting anybody's kids either. Especially if you have a son or daughter on oncology treatments. That's your kid. That's your son or daughter. They're going through cancer treatments, oncology treatments. Your butt's there. You other than somebody said I knew. I'd be camping my ass outside the door during COVID if I couldn't be there. You know? I'll be present. I'll be there. What possesses people, loved ones, to not be there for their loved one? Sorry, sidetrack. You don't have to forgive no family members at all, folks. You're an oncology patient and you didn't have your loved ones there. Your family wasn't there. I mean, at least one better be the whole enchilada. And not, you don't have to forgive them at all. There's nothing forgivable about it. They have to answer to God for that. That's the way I look at it. Don't blame yourself. There is not your fault. You're worried about saving your life. They need to be worried about being next to you and being present there and applauding and cheering you on to help you and encourage you and support you unconditionally to help you wanting to save your life. Any loved ones that aren't present during oncology treatments and a family member or family members are all, there ain't no low of low left of low. Sorry, title of my opinion, and that's a fact. But I need to get back to this. I feel for the patients who literally are in that situation, and you realize that your treatment drug is no longer because they don't have anything left. And you realize, I'm sorry, we can't finish your treatment because we ran out. They're running out of treatment drugs across the board. My oncology group, my oncologist was telling me, is you're fortunate that we finished the treatments and things that we did and the options, and we have plenty of stock. The pharmacy and the hospitals had, you know, availability. I would say stock availability, because now we're talking people in the beginning, middle, and towards the end of treatment, no matter which treatment you chose, and you literally realize that they don't have the capability because they don't have the rest of the drug for you. People don't understand the side effects, whether alone. Now you're going to have to literally stop it cold turkey. That's pure hell. That's torture. How in the world, the United States, are we going to literally get to that point when we do not have the availability that should always be available, is oncology, treatment drugs, cancer drugs. It's unacceptable. That's as unacceptable of loved ones and family members not being present during oncology treatments. That is unacceptable, as damn unacceptable, completely unacceptable, of running out of treatment drugs for patients as it is of family members or loved ones not being there for you. The most selfless act ever of being present, cheering, and supporting a family member or loved one on when they're bravely fighting for their own life. Shame on you. Period. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and even you. Shame on you. But we're running out of, I mean, you know, a patient never forgets their journey.
And when you don't realize, I say remission. I don't believe in a cure. I don't believe that cells ever go away. I believe there's always some remnants left behind unless you really encase it, as my surgeon said with oncology. But even they believe that that's not a guarantee because it always resurfaces some way, shape, how. They do not believe in cures. They believe in remission. And you're in that position. You never got that. And I know because I'm that patient. And you're now in this position where things are progressing. You're relying on other drugs to help you for pain, let alone, gosh darn, I'm now in the position to rely on things to help me goddamn sleep. You ain't worried about doing your makeup right here the next day. You're worried about getting some rest. You sleep when you sleep. Or some people say, I'll say for myself, as God says, you sleep, you know, you sleep when you're perished, you sleep when you're dead. You gotta get some sleep though. And imagine not being able to sleep, and you're already uncomfortable as it is, and you're running out of a treatment drug that should be available to every patient before you even begin the process. And how in the world the United States would run out of it? I mean, I personally saw it on the news, but having an oncologist explain it to me of how serious it is and the position that they're in as a group, as they told me yesterday on a visit, is you're very fortunate, Kimberly, and lucky that we had, I know, availability, and it was never limited, to be able to finish treatments. I can't imagine, you know? It's like that saying, when you think you have it bad, somebody has it worse. That's the truth. I may be uncomfortable, and I am, but there's people far worse than me right now that are really severely uncomfortable. All I ask is on this podcast ending is, let's keep those warriors, oncology patients, cancer patients, please keep them in your prayers for those that are experiencing in the United States the shortage of cancer oncology drugs. It should have never happened. It should never happen. It should never get to that point. And, you know, it's just crazy, you know? Should never happen. But keep those in your prayers, the patients, okay? Because it's not easy as it is on that journey. Going through treatments and even post, you know, and when your things progress and you don't realize remission, you never did. It's already uncomfortable and hard enough. But only imagine what these patients are experiencing and having to stop completely treatments that are very dangerous to start with, but even far more dangerous when you're stopping in the beginning, middle, or end of a treatment because you ran out of the drug. 2023, only possible. We literally have to go out of the country to get the drugs for the patient so they can finish the treatment, okay? Just remember, when you're having a bad day, you think you got really bad, you don't really have a bad deal. Because always remember, there's someone going through it a lot worse. And I'm telling you right now, these patients, they're going through a lot worse than you. Amen. Keep them in your prayers, everyone. And let's just hope a great learning curve on this one. It never, ever, ever, ever happens again. Amen.